Welcome back to 2021. Actually, I should say welcome to 2021, but it feels like we've been here for a very long time. My name is Bethann Stube, and I'm the Director of Publications and Press, and I am joined for our spring 2021 issue of Peer-to-Peer by ILTA CEO Joy Heathrush. Joy, welcome.
Hey, thank you, Bethann. And I was thinking back, and as the day we record this, 1 year ago today, I was returning from my last business trip before lockdown. So I've decided that, you know, you said welcome to 2021. 2020 doesn't like officially end till the first day of lockdown. That's the 1 year anniversary, then 2021 can start.
That seems incredibly fair and more than 2020 should get.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we just recently announced that we're going back in person and hybrid for ILTACON 2021. So let's just dive in there. Can you talk to me a little bit about what that means for ILTA, for you, for our members and our partners?
Well, I have to tell you that the you know, people talk in the United States, at least, and I'm sure this is a global feeling, is that there's all this pent up demand in the global economy. That's certainly true in the ILTASphere. People want to be together. They miss their colleagues. They miss their friends. They miss the opportunity to talk about technology, talk shop, see new stuff in person. And so when we made the announcement, I kind of sat back and said, wonder what the market's going to do. What are people going to think? And the very first email I received, literally seconds after the press release hit, was from a CIO saying, please tell me you're not going to limit the number of people I can send. And I said, okay, that makes me feel great.
It's perfect because our peer-to-peer theme for the spring issue is thriving in the post-pandemic legal tech world. Now, I know when I named the issue, you and I went back, we're going post-pandemic. Are we going to be there? But this does seem like a light at the end of the tunnel to some extent. And I know we're going to view education, which we'll talk about shortly, a little bit differently. But how do you think we've continued as an organization to evolve, especially as we look ahead toward ILTACON and Legal Sex Summit?
Well, I think we learned a tremendous amount last year by being forced into situations we didn't anticipate. But we learned about what education can be when it is digital streaming education. We learned about some of the challenges of making connections in a mostly digital world, even with people who are digital natives. And I think we learned that there's always going to be a place for the digital streaming component, even of a live in-person conference. I mean, one of the, to me, great, shining, bright moments of 2020 was having 1,100 people at our streaming ILTACON, which we called ILTA On, having 1,100 people that had never attended conference before. And they were able to do that because of the format, not needing to travel. We had 26 countries represented. That's fantastic. And that we don't want to lose. I mean, I think that's going to be a theme probably in this issue of peer-to-peer, but also as we continue through 2021, is some things in 2020 we were forced into, but we don't want to lose them. You know, we want to make sure that when we're back being able to do things in person, that some of the good things that came out of the digital and remote experience are things that we hold on to.
Let's talk a little bit about that. So we'll be at the Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas from the 22nd to the 26th of August of 2021. When we talk about premier education and networking events, what do we mean exactly?
Well, I think when it comes to education, ILTA is peer powered. That's one of the things we always say. But I think that we've really learned over the last few years in particular that how we define peer is critical to that. Peers are peers if they're in the same job, the same organization, but they're also peers if they're in the same community. And they're peers if they're business partners. They're peers if they're corporate law departments or law schools. They're peers. So it's people who are worried about the same issues, trying to solve the same problems. And those are people that are all over the spectrum in terms of experience and knowledge. And when we can bring that fantastic blend and we don't have to worry about where people are physically to bring that together, that just takes education to the next level. All kinds of peers, regardless of where they are, regardless of their ability to travel to a place in person. And that just takes what is always a fantastic educational experience absolutely to the next level.
We're really committed to making sure that the educational components of this ILTACON in person, or as we say, on-prem, are transferable for our hybrid attendees. We want to make sure that their experience is just as deep. When you've attended some of the hybrid or virtual events over the last year, what are some of the biggest takeaways that you've seen that we will make sure that we will incorporate into our meeting?
Yeah, it's so interesting because I was having a conversation about this with a virtual events platform provider last week. Is I think the thing that will be the hardest to recreate, that was one of the best aspects of the 100% digital experience, was the chat. I mean, let's face it, people in a big room set up classroom style or theater style are not going to turn to their neighbor and talk out loud about what's going on the stage. They're just not going to do it. It's not our culture. Yet in a digital and streaming event, there's a very active chat function going on with text. And the effect for me was taking what we would call 201 content, so maybe intermediate level content, and turning into 301 or advanced level content, because people were saying, yes, I experienced that, or here's how I solved or addressed that issue. And it was just such a rich addition to the conversation. I think figuring out how to not lose that when we have people both in person, live, and participating digitally is going to be one of the fun challenges we face going into ILTACON 2021.
We continually, in our prep with our PPC, with our CCTs, have had a conversation about pipeline education. And I think that's really important as we look at the educational pieces that we're providing throughout the year, not just at our large events. What are you seeing in either the market or that we're doing at ILTA that helps fill the space between, you know, the start of a quarter and ending out at ILTACON and LegalSec?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, organizationally, one of the things that ILTA has done is bring the whole education apparatus, if you will, more together. So in terms of the staff organization, when I started 2.5 years ago, the various pieces of education, business partner sourced education, peer education, year-long education versus conference education, education happening at the local level with in-person meetings. Those were in different groups organizationally within ILTA. And I think it made it very difficult for us to create this learning pipeline that you're talking about. So we brought that together organizationally. And then we also have leveraged the Program Planning Council, or PPC, to bring all those threads together. And again, to have a tighter integration of all the pieces, both the staff and the volunteer perspective. So you can say, okay, we're running a series on AI at ILTACON. Let's do some prerequisite work through the year, or let's build up to that conversation. Let's make it a whole year priority. One of the other things we're doing is communicating more proactively outward from our Program Planning Council about the key issues, the programming themes for the year. So that, for example, when our business partners come to us and pitch a webinar, to say, yep, that makes sense because it fits within our programming priorities for the year. So it's making sure that everybody in the environment, in the community that's creating content, knows what the direction is and can be part of that pipeline. Actually very exciting to me.
And I think there's a piece of the pipeline that we don't talk about enough. I love the content side, but our organization is made up of volunteer groups and task force, microvolunteerism and mentorship that really moves that educational piece forward. How do you think we'll be able to incorporate some of our task forces, like our DEI task force, our women who lead programs, and even parts of our business partner community into our events moving forward, not just ILTACON?
One of the things we've done is really expanded volunteer opportunities into maybe non-traditional sectors of the community. We have many, many, many more volunteer opportunities that are open to business partners. We have 3 business partners on the ILTACON committee this year, for example. We also have more participation from industry participants, which is a new category of membership that we just announced we were activating in the fall of 2019. So we're looking always for more diversity. I guess you might say lowercase d, organizational diversity, diversity of perspectives. But we also are really relying on our task forces and committees to come to us and say what we could be doing better. The Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Task Force developed, for example, last year's speaker guidelines to help us really think about, are we being diverse in the people that we're bringing to the content table? we'll have to look at it for volunteers too. In fact, for those of you that have reviewed our annual report, our members, and it's available to you, we are reporting on speaker diversity. We're also expecting the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Task Force to come to us with some real programming, maybe overlays, you might say, or priorities for programming. The Women Who Lead Roadshow is just, we had a fantastic, you know, virtual roadshow kickoff in New Orleans. We're about to go to Atlanta. It's creating sense of community in the context of content. And I love that. So for those of you who have reviewed our strategic plan that we announced in September of 2020, there are three pillars. There's content. Well, ILTA has always been at the top in content, the best content, peer-sourced content, peer-powered content. There's no better content in legal tech than you're going to get through ILTA. But the second pillar is connections. How ILTAns connect to each other, why they do, what kinds of affinities bring us together. And then the third pillar is leadership. And those latter two are very closely connected. We create connections through leadership, but volunteer leadership also makes sure that the content is relevant. So our volunteer leadership task force, for example, is looking at our volunteer structure to make sure it supports the strategic plan. That means, does it allow people to achieve leadership goals that they have personally, but does it also contribute to connections? And then what can we do to create content? It's understanding that we have the three pillars or three legs of the stool, but the stool can't stand without all three, and we need to look at them together. I know that was kind of a long and rambling answer, Beth Ann, but you can tell that I'm really passionate about this. And having the various volunteer structures within our organization not be silos, understand how that connections applies even to our volunteer structures is something that will take ILTA to the next level.
Over the few years that I've been at ILTA, I have watched and worked our content with other program areas in ways that I don't think anyone else in legal tech is doing. We're taking that education from the very onset, from when someone has an idea as a volunteer or a task force member, and then putting it into practice at conference. What is, looking forward, going to be your favorite roadmap or pipeline piece of content as we head toward ILTACON 2021 and LegalSec in the fall?
Boy, now you're asking me some really, really hard questions. I am intensely interested. You know, we're tying this back to our spring peer-to-peer about thriving in a post-COVID or post-pandemic world. I am very, very interested to see what that world's going to look like. And there's going to be a lot of programming around where will we be in 6 months and 9 months and 1 year? What will the world look like? Will we still be in offices in the way we traditionally have? How are people utilizing space? What does it mean for talent management? You know, there was I'm a big fan of Meet the Press. And as again, as I record this, it's on Monday, March 8th. I was watching yesterday's Meet the Press, and Chuck Todd did a very interesting piece about what the economy, what the US economy and the world economy will look like when everyone is vaccinated. And again, some things that we've learned will keep, some things will go back to the way they were, some things are changed forever. But that programming, talking about how we prepare and thrive as we return to some aspect of, you know, maybe what 2019 looked like, but more so preparing for what 2022 is going to look like. That to me is the most critical conversation we can be having.
I've heard you say that a catastrophe, if you will, or some sort of roadblock is something that we don't want to waste because you're looking at the idea just past it. So if we don't want to look back at 2019 and we want to look ahead in 2021, do you have any last words of wisdom for us or maybe just some advice to help us get through on a daily basis?
Well, I would say that it's, you know, one of my favorite management constructs is the start, stop, continue. You know, we go through an experience or we're reviewing a project, we're doing an after action report, and we say, based on this, what should we start doing? What should we stop doing? And I think the almost always missing component is what we continue doing. You know, and early in my project management days, we used to call these postmortem reports, which I never liked because that means something bad happened, right? The patient died if it's a postmortem. So we think about after action reports. And we're very quick to fix stuff. That didn't go well, let's fix it. That didn't go well, let's fix it. But we're very much less disciplined about, wow, that went really well. How do we do that again? how do we continue that? And not losing the continue part of the conversation, focusing on what do we start or restart? What do we stop maybe because it's no longer necessary, but taking some real time to focus on the continue. What have we learned through this year-long crisis that we don't ever want to forget and that we want to bring back and make part of our preparation, our disaster recovery planning, how we manage projects, how we manage people. And let's not forget that, absolutely a crisis is a terrible thing to waste. And we always have to take the learning we can from anything that's challenging and difficult.
I like the idea that we're going to look at the end game and not maybe the steps in between as hard, as long as we had a good outcome and can continue to learn.
Yep. When that light at the end of the tunnel is the exit to the tunnel and not the oncoming train, that's where we need to focus.
That's a great place to leave us. We'll talk to you again in the summer.
Thanks, Beth Ann. Always a pleasure.